Support for Great Minds is provided by The Wine Store in Naples. The Wine Store offers a unique selection of wines from small production, artisan, and family-owned wineries. Their in-store wine education center hosts classes for the novice and connoisseur alike. Details are at thewinestorenaples.com. Welcome to Great Minds, the wine-centric podcast that looks beyond what is actually in the glass to the much more interesting world of the people, the history, and the culture that make all the magic happen. I'm Gina Birch.
And I'm Julie Glenn. Today we are continuing our series of Wines in the Zodiac, where we take the attributes of particular signs and match them with the characteristics of a grape. That doesn't mean the person of that sign should actually drink or like that grape. Or the wine coming from that grape, but they kind of have some of the same personality characteristics.
And that would be kind of an interesting experiment. Which I would like to propose once we go through the Zodiac is to wrap it up with 12 different people representing all signs and pair them with the grapes and see if they really like them.
They probably won't.
It would be very unscientific, I know, but still it'd be kind
of
a fun.
Well, I know for me it would be 100% self-loathing because the grape that represents my zodiac sign, and I'm no spoilers to be had here, I'm a Leo. I don't really like that grape that much.
Really? Well, you didn't tell us what the grape was, so you can hang on to that so you didn't really spoil it yet.
I'm going to wait till next month. This week we're in the sign of Cancer, this month anyway. So this week's podcast is going to be focusing on Cancer. Cancer is the caregiver of the zodiac, pretty much. They're really loyal, sweet, exactly the one to find when you need a hug. And similarly, snuggling into a glass of good Syrah is like wrapping a blanket of velvet around your soul. Sometimes Cancers are a little bit moody, and likewise Syrah can get a little extreme, but it's still always a pleasure to have in the glass.
So here are some famous people that were born under the sign of Cancer. And it kind of, once after you just said that description, I think most of these people really do fit that personality, like Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I would totally. If I needed a hug, I would totally.
Oh, yeah.
He seems like he'd be so understanding.
Robin Williams, even though he's eccentric, you know, he's just a cool guy. Princess Di, Nelson Mandela, Sylvester Stallone. I would like a hug from him too, but you
might
know,
get crushed.
We're going. Yeah, another reason for that. No, Harrison Ford, Meryl Streep, Helen Keller, Carlos Santana, and because I cannot get enough of the World Cup action right now, Leo Messi, the star from Argentina.
I am so not a sports person. I'm like, oh yeah, sports ball. I've heard of that.
Oh yeah, no, World Cup is so fun to watch, even if you're not really a fan of soccer or European football.
Football.
Yeah.
Yes. That's about
exactly.
All I know about it.
That's all you need to know.
To my knowledge. But yeah, these are the Cancer people. My mom was a Cancer. But see, she was great, super loyal. I mean, like the loyalest person in the world. But sometimes could be a little tough, you know?
Well, it's interesting you said that because Vin Diesel's a Cancer too. When I first saw that, I'm like, I don't know, because he always plays these tough guys, you know, and he's—
Maybe he's a cusp of Leo kind of guy.
Maybe. He's got something rising.
Yeah. His Leo's rising.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes, though, Cancers can be a little tough. You know, a good friend of ours, Pyro. He's a Cancer.
Okay. Got it.
Love the guy. Wonderful, loyal, fabulous person. But if you push him too far, he will let you know.
Yeah.
So these are
not so many terms.
And you will know where you stand. And that's the thing about Cancers, too. You know where you stand with them. So we're comparing Cancers with the grape Syrah.
Right.
Which we all know is also Shiraz.
I just like to say Shiraz.
And in Australia, they do pronounce it Shiraz.
Yeah.
Remember last week we talked with Powell from Powell and Sons?
Oh, yeah.
Dave Powell?
If you missed that last week's podcast, he is quite a character.
Oh, he's awesome.
And he makes some great Shirazes.
Yeah. So for centuries, there were legends that claimed that a group of Greeks bought the grape from the town of Shiraz in Persia into France via Marseille. However, it was not until 1999 that DNA profiling showed that it's the progeny of two obscure grapes from southern France. So, and I don't even know the names, but
that's okay.
That it did not come from Shiraz
from
Persia.
Town. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it did not. But it kind of got that name because of that belief system that was in place. So it's Shiraz. And then Syrah was apparently how you pronounce that in France. So in California, you'll have Syrah. Some people label it Shiraz.
Every now and then you'll see Shiraz in California. But most of it that I've seen recently has been Syrah.
Yeah. And then down in Australia, they call it Shiraz, which we pronounce Shiraz.
And, you know, there's some beautiful Syrahs in France.
When I think of Syrah from France, I think of the Rhone Valley because of all of those beautiful Rhone. It is considered a Rhone varietal. So when people say it's they like a Rhone blend, there's a good chance you're going to have some Syrah and Grenache. Boy, they go well together. Those two red grapes.
They
to
do.
Me,
play
I love those.
So well. Yeah. I wonder if what was Grenache? I don't remember the zodiac sign, but it'd be interesting to know if Cancers get along with that
sign.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's another way.
I'm writing a note.
We're cross-referencing our data analysis for anecdotal studies. So France's Rhone Valley is definitely the core of Syrah, from its supporting role in the southern territories of this north-south wine-growing region to its star status further north. When you go further north, you have sub-appellations like Hermitage and Côte Rôti, where Syrah is celebrated since the Romans happened upon it. Back in the day, it's a lucky side benefit from Rhone River's connection to trade in Gaul, so that's how it ended up getting discovered. But there are different AOCs in Northern Rhone, and from north to south, here they are. There's Côte Rôti, AOC, Condru.
Viognier there.
No kidding. That's only Viognier.
Yep.
So there's no Syrah. Another one with just whites is Chateau Grillet. I'm not a good at French.
That's all right.
Then there's St. Joseph AOC. That's the reds of Syrah, and up to 10% Marsan and Roussan. And then Crozes Hermitage, that is reds of Syrah and up to 15% Marsan and Roussan. So they're blending a little bit of white in here. That's kind of the tradition. Then there's Hermitage, which I mentioned earlier. Then there's Cornas, which is reds of Syrah only. And then Saint Pernay, which is sparkling and still whites only from Marsan and Roussan.
Right.
When we talk about the Rhone, I love all the grapes of the Rhone. I mean, that's my jam. They have really good reds, and their whites are just so floral.
Oh, they're wonderful. And then it's such a different – I mean, it's a big region. You just mentioned all the ones in the north. And in the south, we've got the Côte de Vivarais, the Côte de Rhone. We've got the Côte de Rhone villages. We've got – what is it? The Châteauneuf-du-Pape, of course. You cannot escape Châteauneuf-du-Pape. Everyone knows that. Vacaras and Gigandas and Carignan and Rostieu and Lirac. Lirac makes a lot of great rosés, too.
Yeah, and then you got Tavel, another rosé.
Oh,
so
yeah,
Rhone's the place to go now.
Bon de Vigny.
Oh, and it's fun to say.
I just like to say that.
What did you say? Boom de Vigny. Booms de Vigny. So let's talk about the way that Syrah tastes and Shiraz. It's gone through. It had a big popularity thing there in the late 80s, early 90s, well, most of the 90s, right?
Yes. And what killed it for a lot of people, I hate to say it, was the Aussies. And the guy we talked to last week he was the one who's continued to do great things and make amazing wines. And it just, for lack of so many reasons, the Australian market crashed here. A lot of it was because they were starting to make all the Shirazes tasted the same. There was economic issues, you know, with the currency that had changed. But to me, for a while there, it tasted like all of them were the same. Like there was just one big vat of Shiraz that was coming from Australia that was jammy and fruity and uneventful and the critter wines. And it was just, I think it turned a lot of people off to that grape in general.
You know, it's weird because the wine market does this, you know. This happened to Merlot.
Yep.
You know, and it happened to Shiraz. We kind of cycle through. Everybody's like, ooh, I just discovered Merlot.
It's fashionable.
Yeah. So now it's fashionable. So everybody has to try to plant Merlot where it shouldn't be planted. And then it comes out not so good and be like, oh, Merlot sucks. Well, it's not Merlot's fault. It's because they weren't making it right. Same thing happened with Shiraz. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to have Shiraz and they think Australian Shiraz is the bomb. And in some cases, it really is. I mean, Grange.
From Penfolds.
Yeah.
And I just tasted through a bunch of Derenberg wines. Charlie Osborne makes those. He's a crazy nut. And boy, is he making some good Shiraz and some Shiraz Grenache blends that are just kick butt.
Yeah. I mean, and Australian people are just cool.
They are.
You know, I just want to hang out with them.
Their neighbors, New Zealand, getting in on the Shiraz action. There are a few areas there that they're really starting to do some good things. Trying to get into the U.S. market is going to be tough because a lot of the ones that are being exported are in the $40 range. So you're going to say, I'm going to take a chance on a $40 Syrah from New Zealand. I don't know, but they're coming from the Hawke's Bay and the Martinborough areas.
You know, Hawke's Bay makes some great everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been noticing that's So then you also have the problem with the California Syrah. Every California winemaker that I know makes a brilliant Syrah, mm-hmm. but they only make like a handful of it because they can't sell it.
Right.
It's kind of like that the phrase, nice guys always finish last.
Uh-huh.
You know, mm-hmm. the Syrah has everything everybody says they want in a wine. It's not overly tannic, usually. It can be spicy. It can be like a nice, really easy, velvety, fruity. I mean, it depends on who's producing it and where they're producing it. And we talked earlier about Rhone. You start in the north and it's spice territory. Mm-hmm. And as the further south you get, the more fruit forward it becomes.
Right.
And that has a lot to do with the terroir and the way that it's being vinified and things like that.
And the heat,
like
too.
Yeah, the heat, the temperature situation. We talked about Central Coast before we started, and there was a little bit of finger-pointing from the New Zealand exporters saying, Central Coast made
it. Yeah, you screwed it up a little bit, too. You were making these big, jammy, uneventful wines. Well, I actually brought one in from Paso Robles, Pomar Junction, and you were talking about how a lot of the producers only make small quantities of Syrah. So this is going to be totally self-serving, of course, but I would like to open some and pour it while we continue talking.
I think you probably should do that. That'll make the conversation so much more fun. Always a good time. But yeah, Syrah has all the qualities people say that they like in wine. It's strong. It's got soft edges, floral on the nose, spicy on the finish, versatile, fruity. It's like a buff athlete wrapped in velvet. Mm. When I bring up Syrah, everyone gushes about how much they love it and underrated it is and how they wish they could find more of it. But when I talk to retailers, they say when they do buy it, it just sits there on the shelf.
Right.
So, you know, they're rock stars, quarterbacks, brooding poets, always getting the sale. They're always getting in the sale rack. So, I mean, there is something to be said for that. It's always...
Well, and I think, you
for
know,
bargain hunters, if you get a sale Syrah, you're probably going to be in luck.
Syrah is so good for blending. So it's hard to find just 100% Syrah like this one here. And when we're talking about Paso Robles in this area, they are known for their own blends. I mean, they're known for a lot of they have their own style there, but they grow a lot of Rhone varietals and they do it really well. So there are a lot of producers that make some beautiful blends. If you're not really familiar with them, we've got Chronic Cellars and Tablas Creek. Oh, they make some great wines at Tablas Creek.
I tried one a couple weeks. Oh, Tablas Creek is incredible. Oh, I tried one a couple years ago called Sexual Chocolate. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That was from Brandon.
Slow Down.
Brandon. What's his name? Brandon. Yeah, Slow Down Wines.
Slow Down Wines. It was really good though. But it was. Yeah. I think it was a Syrah blend.
I think he's got some Zen in there now. That changes a little bit every year, if I remember correctly. Hearst makes a good one. Rangeland, McPrice Myers, Chronic Cellars. We mentioned. So there are a lot of good ones and great blends out there with Syrah as well.
So what's this one?
This one is Pomar Junction.
All right, and this is 100% Syrah.
Excuse me. Yes.
All right.
And I believe they are on the east, in the east part of Paso Robles. Got to look at my map here.
I need to get to know the Central Coast better.
Yeah, east and west, you know, they have a little bit of a competition. You know, they think the west is supposedly a little more fertile and the east was a little drier and less populated. And they when you're in Paso, they try to delineate. They look a lot of stuff. Well, we're on the east and we're on the west as bragging rights. When really when you look at how the topography of it is, it should be north and south.
Yeah.
Because it's a little complicated. We should do a whole show on that.
I think I need to tour the region first.
Yes.
Just kidding.
I'll go back. I'll go with you.
Yeah. This wine is this exactly what I have in mind when I'm thinking about Syrah and how sweet and kind it is. But it's not sweet, like sugar sweet. It's just forgiving. I think it's because of the viscosity that seems to happen with Syrah. Are you noticing that you get kind of like a little bit of a mouth coating, like bacon fat kind of sort of deal?
I do. A total bacon fat. And I love the spicy finish. And I want meat with this. And maybe what else would I have with this?
This would be a good sipper too. It's not like, you know, sitting on your porch, rosé kind of time.
No.
But this is a nice, I'm just going to sit
gentle
and have
sipper.
A nice red
not
glass
a pounder.
Of wine. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm going to, porch bed, I love pouch. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to sit and, Netflix binge something or just watch something on, hanging out and I want to have red wine. This is going to be just fine. It does not require food. It does not have the amount of tannins that's going to just kind of rip your...
It's got great red fruit. It's
so
got
good.
A little bit of sexiness going on, like a little chocolatey, velvety, and then it just hits you at the end with that spice. It's just it's got a little bit of everything. So yeah, if you're out around this weekend and you're wanting to try a wine, look for some Syrahs. Look for ones from Paso Robles, the Central Coast. Look for I was trying to look. Lewis makes one too that I think was pretty good.
Yeah.
Or just go for it all the way and get a Shiraz from Australia. But don't get ones that are $5 and $10, $8. Spend a little money go to a producer that actually is doing it right. No critters on the labels.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, critter labels are, you know, if everybody does their thing, you know, and I'm trying not to be Judgy McJudgerton here, but it's.
I know, but I just was.
So. It's hard, you know, and then. You know, that's what you like, and that's cool. But if you
exactly.
are somebody right. that really digs red wine and you're kind of stuck in a Cabernet Sauvignon rut, or if you feel like you're tired of spending too much to have a decent Pinot Noir, you might want to take a look at the sale rack in any kind of wine shop and see if they have any Syrah sitting there, because they might have been a wine buyer who, because they are correct, liked a Syrah, put it on their shelf and just had a hard time moving
it. And you might get an older vintage that's just really mellowed out nicely, too.
Yeah, Syrah hangs out pretty good in the bottle.
Yeah, it does.
I think it can age for 8 to 10 years.
I tasted some in Languedoc, and I swear that could have been on the shelf for another 10 or 15. It was so big and bad. I mean, bad in a good way, you know.
Bad in a Vin Diesel way, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love me some Vin Diesel Syrah.
So we love our people of the Cancer Zodiac sign. You're some of the most loyal and wonderful friends and family members, and I mean, thank you for letting us know exactly where we stand with you, because we know you do that too.
Exactly.
That's that spicy part, right? it's like I said, like a big muscular athlete wrapped up in a velvet blanket, you know?
So. And if you are of the sign of Cancer and you're digging Syrah or Shiraz, let us know. You know, interact with us on Facebook, or you can
go
on our website.
Yeah, go to our website, greatminds.org. And we also, if you have questions about wine, we have a little bug on there where you can ask your own questions. And if you ask a good enough question, I'm just kidding. if you ask a question, we can answer.
That's where I was going. Yeah. If we can figure out the answer, we'll
But if we can't
put it
figure
on.
Out the answer, we are just not using that question.
Yeah, sorry. Now you know the secret.
Out of luck.
No. So go on our website and send us your questions, and we will try to answer those. That would be a fun show, just answering a whole bunch of questions.
I like that idea.
Well, Great Minds is produced at WGCU Studios on FGCU campus in Fort Myers, Florida. Our producers for online media are Anna Bejarano and Tara Callaghan. Technical production is by Mike Canary.
Great Minds theme music for Zante is by Colin Mannon. To get in touch, check greatminds.org. And thanks for listening.